Hi, I'm Allison Wood Brooks. I'm a behavioral scientist and professor at Harvard Business School, where I created a course about conversation called Talk. I'm also the author of a book called Talk, The Science of Conversation and the Art of Being Ourselves. Many of us believe that good conversationalists are born, that they're naturally and effortlessly charismatic and delightful to be with, but that's not true. Conversation is effortful, and we all have room for improvement. Having better conversation starts with understanding the hidden architecture that lies beneath every conversation and enacting small changes to make the most out of every one. The sociologist Irving Goffman once said, "Conversation is the spark, not the more obvious kinds of love, that can light up the world." I'm going to share with you five of the key insights from my book so we can all make the world a little brighter, one conversation at a time. Insight number one, conversation is a coordination game. Think of a time when you weren't sure how to end a conversation. You thought it might be time to say goodbye, but you didn't want to seem rude. You weren't sure if they were ready to end, so you kept going. Or maybe you cut out abruptly, later ruminating about what the other person thought after you left. Ending a conversation is just one of the micro decisions we make during every conversation. It's the last one. We choose to stop talking and part ways. But by the time we get to the end of a conversation, we've made thousands of micro decisions about what to say and how to say it. And we don't make these choices alone. We have to coordinate our contributions with our conversation partners. In the mid-20th century, game theorists studied what they called coordination games. Decisions that people make independently, without communicating, that have interdependent outcomes. For example, in the game of chicken, two people are hurtling toward each other, and they must decide whether to veer right or left. If they coordinate successfully, they both veer away from each other, avoiding a collision. Conversation is also a coordination game, sort of like the game of chicken. But conversation demands more, much more. More guessing, and more decisions. What it means to succeed in this relentless coordination game is determined by everyone's goals. What does each person want out of the interaction? We always have at least one goal, like being polite or having fun. Otherwise, we wouldn't bother talking at all. And usually, we have many more than just one goal. We want to learn, persuade, brainstorm, keep a secret, fill time, and at some point, leave. The book provides a framework called the conversational compass that helps to organize all of the many goals that talkers pursue. No matter what you want out of your conversations, you have to make decisions to try to achieve your goals. That's where the TALK maxims come in. TALK is an acronym that stands for topics, asking, levity, and kindness. They're reminders to help us achieve our goals one conversation at a time. Insight number two, topics are the building blocks of conversation. At the start of my talk course at Harvard, my students do an exercise called the chat circle. It's sort of like speed dating without the romantic part. They have rapid-fire conversations with five different classmates, then rate how each conversation has gone. The night before this exercise, I asked them to brainstorm some topics that they could raise during their chats the next day. Though many students find the idea of prepping topics to be uncomfortable and unnecessary, over the course of the chat circle exercise and over the next several months of the class, they come to see that thinking ahead about topics can be incredibly helpful. But why? Because topics are the fundamental building blocks of conversation, and it's hard to manage them well during conversation. Here's the trick. We don't just choose a topic to start. No, no. We make micro decisions to manage topics at every moment of every conversation, every time we speak. We choose to stay on the current topic, drift slowly away, jump cut to completely different topics, and call back to things we talked about before. And all the while, our partners are doing the same. Topic management determines the content and flow of every conversation. Listen, most people dread small talk, but when you understand conversation in terms of topic management, you realize that many conversations have to start on a small talk topic, at the base of what I call the topic pyramid. You have to start with things that anyone could talk about, the traffic, the weather, the weekend. It's a well-worn social ritual that helps us reacquaint ourselves with each other. The trick is to avoid getting stuck at the bottom of the topic pyramid, doom spiraling in small talk for too long. We should use small talk topics as an opportunity to search for the spark of something better, to climb to the second tier of the topic pyramid, medium or tailored talk. This is where conversation becomes more personal, more exciting, more interesting. You can get there by sharing information about yourself, your experiences, your perspective, your beliefs, or by asking your partner about theirs. Sharing joy and pain can help us feel more connected and quickly. Or you can just look for topics that seem mutually exciting. Chase the energy to climb the topic pyramid away from small talk. The top tier of the topic pyramid is deep talk, topics that only you and your partner could talk about in a very specific moment in time. We all know what it feels like when you've reached this conversational peak. Close, trusting, fascinating, magical. Not every conversation is bound for the peak of the topic pyramid, but if we get there, we should appreciate it. The keys to navigating the topic pyramid more effectively are to think ahead about what will be interesting or important to discuss before the conversation starts. Don't get stuck in small talk for too long and chase the energy. Switch to a new topic as soon as the current one starts to run out of juice. Insight number 3, ask more and better questions. In the coordination game of conversation, if topics are the game pieces, then questions are the hands that lift those pieces, roll them between their fingers, and push them around the board. In my capacity as a psychologist, I get to eavesdrop on thousands of first dates, negotiations, parole hearings, doctor-patient interactions, sales calls, and get-to-know-you conversations between strangers. Across all of these domains, one thing is clear. People who ask more questions have better conversations. They learn more information and their partners like them more. On first dates, for example, asking just one more question on each date will earn you a second date on one out of 20 dates. 5% more agreement to a second date just for asking one more question per conversation. What this means for all of us is that we should aim simply to ask more questions, or at the very least, don't leave any conversation having asked zero questions. We call these guys ZQs for zero questions, and you don't want to be one. In our quest to ask more questions, there are patterns of questioning that emerge as heroic and villainous. Heroes include follow-up questions, which follow up on something your partner has already said, as well as open-ended questions that start with the word, what. Open-ended questions elicit more than twice the information from our partners compared to closed questions, and compared to questions that start with why or how, which can feel accusatory or overly nitpicky, questions like, what did you think of the concert last night? Or, what will make this meeting most rewarding for you? Strike the ideal balance between information elicitation and warmth. Sadly, there is such a thing as a bad question, or at least a suboptimal pattern of question asking. Take, for example, a nasty habit I call boomer asking. A colleague approaches you and asks, hey, what are you up to this weekend? You tell her you're not sure, but nothing big. She replies, I'm going to my lake house and we're having a massive bonfire. In this case, what seemed like a genuine expression of interest in you suddenly shifts. It becomes a chance for your partner to disclose about herself, to brag, to complain, or simply to share about herself. This three-turn sequence of conversational choices is called boomer asking, and it happens constantly. Like the outgoing and returning arc of a boomerang, boomer askers ask a question, let their partner answer, and then immediately bring the focus of the conversation back to themselves. Boomer askers try to achieve two conflicting goals at once: to show interest in their partner and to disclose about themselves. In doing so, they fall short of achieving either goal. The advice here is clear. Ask more questions, especially follow-up questions, as well as open-ended questions that start with what. And when your partner answers your wonderful questions, make sure you listen to their answers, follow up, and don't bring the conversation right back to yourself. Insight number 4, levity keeps us engaged. Imagine you're having a conversation with someone on Zoom. You're starting to lose interest when, all of a sudden, they start talking,
In a voice that sounds like a chipmunk. Oh my gosh, friend, I'm having so much fun!
Suddenly, you're pulled back into the conversation, laughing to yourself, confused, and intrigued. This is the L of the talk framework, levity. Though we all know that conversations are easily derailed by hostility and conflict, there's a quieter conversation killer that kills conversation with a silent, poisonous sleeping pill: boredom. If anyone involved in a conversation becomes bored or disinterested, the conversation will struggle. Mutual attention is a prerequisite for good conversation. Levity moves, behaviors that inject humor or warmth into the conversation, are the antidote to boredom. There are countless options, but I will share three. First, when many of us think of funny people we know, we think of comedians and jokes and stand-up routines, which really have no place in back-and-forth dialogue. Instead of aiming to be funny, good conversationalists aim to find the fun. This does not require particularly funny jokes or stories. But instead, we need to look for and seize and relish opportunities for playfulness and joy. Second, when those joyful moments happen, laugh. Laughter is 30 times more likely to happen in the presence of other people than when we're alone. In practice, many of the people we revere as funny are actually just more likely to laugh when they're talking to other people. Third, if you're not funny and you don't think you can be funny, get with it. I'm just kidding. Don't worry. You're awesome. You can still capitalize on the benefits of conversational levity by seeking moments of warmth. One of the clearest ways to turn up your warmth is by giving compliments effusively. Many of us hesitate to give compliments because we fear that we'll embarrass the recipients of our compliments or that doing so will make us look incompetent. But in studies of compliments, neither of these fears is substantiated. Everyone wants to hear how kind, smart, magnanimous, and attractive they are. We massively underestimate the positive impact that giving compliments has on givers and receivers alike. Taken together, levity isn't an afterthought. We need mutual engagement to sustain good conversation. Finding the fun and bringing the warmth are core skills to keep everyone feeling playful, safe, and engaged.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Insight number five, kindness means listening attentively and showing it. When Anderson Cooper's mother, Gloria Vanderbilt, passed away in 2019, Cooper scheduled an interview with late-night television host and comedian Stephen Colbert. They filmed the conversation backstage at The Late Show, with the plan to televise the interaction later. Colbert was no stranger to grief. He'd lost his father and two brothers when he was young, and his mother more recently. Cooper looks to Colbert for guidance about how to process his fresh grief about his mother. It's a beautiful conversation that provides a masterclass in topic management, question asking, and sparkly moments of levity between these two gifted talkers. It feels special to hear two grown men talk so lovingly about their mothers. And what makes it stand out most is the last of the talk maxims, kindness. Stephen Colbert is a talented listener during this conversation, showing us how the kindest conversationalists not only put in the hard work to listen to their partners, but work to understand what they need and also to express their good listening with their words. Decades of books and research have focused on the concept of active listening, strategies that aim to convince your partner that you're engaged, such as nodding, smiling, maintaining eye contact, and leaning forward. These strategies are important and they're a good start. But more recent research has revealed that the best conversationalists go one step further. The best listening is spoken. There are many ways to express that you've heard someone with your words. You can ask follow-up questions. You can repeat and affirm what you've heard your partner say. You can use back-channel utterances like, yeah, mm-hmm, and fascinating, to cheer on your partner as they tell a story. You can paraphrase two or more perspectives during a group conversation. And you can call back to topics or details that were discussed earlier in the conversation or even earlier in the relationship. All of these are undeniable signals, like Stephen Colbert for Anderson Cooper in his time of need, that you're listening to your partner and that you care. The conversation between Cooper and Colbert inspired Cooper to kickstart a new podcast series called All There Is, where he interviewed other public figures and celebrities about loss and grief. It became one of the most listened to podcasts of all time. In the intro, Cooper calls back to his conversation with Colbert as an experience that moved and healed him. Good conversations have the power to bring us together, to heal us, to inspire us, to light up the world one conversation at a time. Thank you for listening to this peek into my book, Talk, The Science of Conversation and the Art of Being Ourselves. I hope you absolutely love it.